My name is Claiborne Benson, and I am doing the interview with Mr. Richard Levy, Raymond Levy today at Wisconsin Black Historic Society. It is Tuesday, the 28th, 2015, at Wisconsin Black Historic Society. Fantastic. One, two, three. Good. So let us start, Mr. Raymond. Your name is?
Raymond Levy.
And where do you live at, Mr. Levy?
I live at 1400 West Custer Avenue, Glendale, Wisconsin.
How long have you lived in Milwaukee?
I was born here.
You were born in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic. Your parents' name?
My father's name was Thomas, and my mother's name was Fanny.
Fantastic. What kind of work did you do, Mr. Levy?
I worked at Pabst Brewery for 30 years.
30 years? Mm-hmm. Okay. Did you go to high school in Milwaukee?
I graduated high school. I had 1 year of college at UWM. Mm-hmm.
What high school did you go to?
Lincoln High School.
Lincoln High School. What did you want to be? What were your goals and aspirations?
Actually, when I was in high school, I wanted to be a secondary teacher.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Secondary teacher?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Or teach high school.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you went to work for Pabst Brewery. When I think of Pabst Brewery, I think about the cartoons that they used to have advertising. Do you remember those?
Oh, sure.
They were quite famous, weren't they?
They were indeed. They were indeed.
And beer signs at almost every corner. Mm-hmm. Where people would have. Mm-hmm. How long did you work at Pabst, please?
I worked there for 30 years.
30 years.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do for them?
I had multiple tasks.
Share some of them with me, would you?
Well, I drove the semis. Mm-hmm. I drove the tanker trucks. I worked in bottling. Mm-hmm. I worked in the cellars where we got the beer from the brew house and processed it for the public. Those are the main things that I did.
Any one of those that you liked more than the other?
I like to drive the trucks more because it put me outside the plant a lot.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
We had supplies to bring into the plant, like malt. Mm-hmm. And grains, and I drove the trucks to bring those into the plant.
Where did that take you in terms of outside of the...
To the south side, South 43rd Street, south of National Avenue. Took me out into Butler. Just all over the city.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And what years did you work for Pabst?
I was hired at Pabst in 1966, and I worked there until the plant closed in 1997.
97. Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that they're even coming back in a smaller version than they...
They are indeed, the microbreweries. Mm-hmm. And I had said to a friend of mine, I would not drink a can or a bottle of Pabst until I find out what the connection is with the new generation to the old generation. Uh-huh. I don't have fond memories of the way management treated us in the process of closing that plant.
Okay.
During contract negotiations, they asked concessions from us, supposedly to keep the business viable. Now, they knocked our wages back 3 years. In terms of wages, they knocked our wages back 3 years, and that was a depressing time for most of us that I talked to in the plant, see. And of course, they ultimately closed the plant anyway. Mm-hmm. But that was the story they told us.
Were you part of the union negotiating team, or were you?
I was not. I was active on the various committees, but none of the negotiating teams.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
How did that impact you when they asked that you reduce your salaries back 3 years?
Well, it was depressing. Mm-hmm. It was really, really depressing, because when you're living at a point where you do your lifestyle around the money that you're making, and then all of a sudden they knock $2 plus some cents off your wages, you have to rethink everything. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. things that were easy to pay became difficult to pay. So that was not an easy time. And that, I think that feeling lasted for most of us, or a lot of us rather, until the plant closed.
How long after that big, I wouldn't call it a strike, the negotiation of your contract, how long did that take for them to close the factory thereafter?
Well, I see, I'm trying to not remember our last contract. I don't exactly remember when our last contract was, mm-hmm. but it was maybe 3 or 4 years, I imagine,
okay.
before they closed the plant.
So you guys really made that sacrifice, hoping that the factory would stay alive and
yeah.
continue to exist.
Well, you know, by way of contract negotiations, we had some pretty good things going on. We had health coverage. We had insurance, which the company paid. I'll give them that. They paid all of that. We had all of that until the plant closed. And then from the year 1997 to 1998, we had taken they dropped our life insurance 50%. And we went to court to try to battle that. But of course, the court ruled in favor of the company. And the biggest lesson I learned from that is that they depend a lot on the language that's in the contracts. And that was how Pabst was able to convince the judge to sway the judge in their favor. See, and sitting there through all of that was kind of, we could kind of see the air going out of the balloon.
Goodness.
Yeah. And so the judge ruled in favor of the company, and we lost our life insurance. We lost our health insurance. We lost our life insurance. And then from 1998 on, we had to scramble to get our own health insurance. Okay. I was fortunate in that I found something that was affordable, but I did look around.
Mm-hmm. So when you said $2 in some sense, you talk about per hour.
Yes.
Taking off that per
yes.
hour of your
yes.
salary.
Yes.
My goodness.
Mm-hmm. It's a big jump. You know, you plan your family vacations based on what you're making at the
yeah,
time and
yeah.
a lot of other things that impact your family, and all of a sudden becomes a problem. So that was not a good time.
So would you say that they cut out 5% of your salary or 10%? What would you think that what percentage did you lose?
Well, it's hard to say. For me to figure percentage-wise, I can just tell you dollar-wise, because mm-hmm. we were making $18 plus mm-hmm. at that time, and they just knocked us back 2 years.
Okay, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So the plant closes 2 to 3 years thereafter. What did you do?
Well, I was used to being busy, so I just found part-time work just to keep myself busy.
Okay.
I had a part-time job for maybe 3 years after I retired.
Okay.
You know, I just used to being busy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did the money wasn't there, did you suffer any other hardships as a result of not having?
Not really, because the part-time work that I took on mm-hmm. made up the difference.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Okay. Did your family experience any difficulties that because of you not bringing the same amount of money in?
1997. Not really, because my wife at the time had a job.
Okay.
But my main concern then was my youngest daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want her to suffer. Mm-hmm. anything because of that situation.
Was she in school or something?
Yes, she was.
Where was she at in school?
She was at Washington High School.
Washington High School.
Mm-hmm.
Were you able to send her to college, or did you?
Yes. Mm-hmm. We sent her to Johnson C. Smith College in Charlotte, North Carolina.
That's good.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
She graduated.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But having less money did impact whether or not you could do that.
Well, sure, my wife and I at the time, we always had to talk about how we were going to get this done or how we were going to get that done. Mm-hmm. You know, we cut back on some vacation time, things like that. I don't say drastically, mm-hmm. but it was there.
Okay. All right. There were people who suffered all kinds of dilemmas. I mean, some drunk excessively and took drugs, neighborhoods collapsed, small businesses fell to the wayside. Any of those kind of experiences that you feel that you encountered in that climb?
Not really.
Not really.
Not really.
Okay. You didn't know a favorite tavern or nightclub or bar that you would go to as a result, either near the plant that went under because either the plant moved or because you guys were less likely to go in there because you had less money.
Well, there were several taverns near the plant that closed, but it wasn't because the plant closed. It was because of management. The management in a lot of these taverns had gotten old.
Okay.
And they didn't want to continue the business.
Okay.
That's what that was all about.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And the guys didn't, or you don't know of any that found themselves drinking excessively because of...
Not to my knowledge. Mm-hmm. But I will tell you that at the time that the company closed, there were a lot of guys that were still in their mid-50s. And so the one thing the plant did was to provide them with a supplement until they reached the age of retirement, which was 62.
Okay.
As a matter of fact, I was 62 when the plant closed. I had planned to work until at least age 65.
Okay.
See, I was able to get my Social Security, but I didn't want to draw it until age 65.
Okay.
But because that I did, I lost money. I forget what the number was, but it was enough to make a difference now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I was fortunate, and that was retirement age when the plant closed.
So what kind of other jobs did you do? You talked about some part-time jobs that you did. You do more than one, or just you?
No, I went to work for Laidlaw because I like to drive.
Okay.
I went to work for Laidlaw to pick up handicapped people and things of that nature.
Okay.
I went to work for them for a while. I went to work in I worked in a hardware store for a while. Laidlaw hardware store. Those are the two last meaningful jobs that I had.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's provided me with a little recreational money, I'll put it like that.
Well, did your pension kick in at all? Did you have a 501(c)?
Well, I had a regular pension from the union.
From the union, you got a pension from the union. Not from the company, but from the union.
We got it from the union,
Okay.
Well, I take that back. From the company.
From the company, right.
Yeah, from the company.
So you did get a 30-year pension.
Yeah. But see, now you have to understand that at PAPS, it didn't make the years didn't make a difference.
Okay.
Whether you got a pension or not, the 30-year thing was not in effect. It was your age.
Okay.
Or close to your age, so you could work in 30 and out in some places, but not at PAPS. You worked until the age of retirement.
Okay.
That would qualify you for your pension.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But so if a person was not 62. Then they wouldn't qualify for a pension?
Not until they reach the age of retirement. As far as I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They wouldn't qualify for a pension.
So
were there extra guys who left there not having a pension?
Not to my knowledge. Everybody that was of retirement age received a pension.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So even the guys that were 50 years old?
Well, when they reach retirement age, they could get it.
Okay.
Like the guys that were 55 or so?
Yes.
They couldn't touch their pension until age 62.
Yes.
So that's where the supplement that the company provided between their loss of regular wages and perhaps what their pension would have been, the company provided that until they reached the age of retirement.
Okay. So, in your encounters with your fellow employees, mm-hmm. did any of them express to you unhappiness at one, the company closing up, to how they were making it as a result of the company closing?
I would say in general, the guys that I talked to were not happy that the plant closed.
Okay.
In general. I still don't hear any of the guys talk about drinking Pabst.
Okay.
Some might, but they don't mention it. They don't mention it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you think when you drive past where Pabst used to be at downtown there? I know you drive past there.
I do. A lot of nostalgia, because even though the plant treated us the way they did toward the end, it was a nice place to work.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a nice place to work. He had good colleagues, you know, so.
It was really in the heart of the black community, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was.
It was in the heart of the black community.
Mm-hmm. So I could see that it would have been difficult for them not to hire as many blacks as they did, being located where they were.
They didn't hire that many, did they?
They had a number. We had about, when I got hired at Pabst, there must have been close to 2,000 employees there.
2,000 African Americans?
Employees.
Employees.
Yeah.
How many African Americans are there?
A goodly number. I had never heard anybody complain about there not being enough.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
So it was. I did, when I drive down through there, a little nostalgia going on.
Okay.
Yeah.
But thinking about the various buildings in which you did in those buildings.
And the good times that we had there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So did you see people just come into the buildings, or black people who lived in that area just make their way into the buildings?
No, I never experienced that. But here's the thing about Pabst. We knew that something was up, just didn't know what it was, because they started changing the management.
Oh, okay.
Most of the supervisors that were there when I got there had come up through the ranks. So even though they were supervisors, they still had some empathy for the population in general.
Yes.
Okay. So what the company did was start eliminating these guys through, like, changing their shifts, moving them to other departments that they weren't familiar with.
Okay.
We had supervisors that at that time had 30 and 40 years with the company, had been there for years.
Okay.
They put them on different shifts. A lot of them retired. And then they brought in the hardliners, like you against us kind of mentality.
Yeah.
Began to come in.
Yeah.
See? They got rid of the old brewmaster and brought in a little guy that reminded us a lot of it. He was German.
Okay.
You know, and he tried to be a hardliner. So we knew something was up. Just didn't know what it was at the time.
So the brewmaster is one person?
Yeah.
He's in charge of the flavor for each of the different beers that the company produces.
Yes. Now, mind you, we have a laboratory.
Yeah.
Which processes all that. But the brewmaster has the final say. We had two labs there.
Okay.
And they were taste testing every day.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting.
Yeah.
Did you do any taste testing?
I did not. Because ironically enough, I worked at Pabst all those years, but I never became a big beer drinker.
Okay. So right after the factory's closing up, I remember the strike, well, not the strike, but the negotiation. Mm-hmm. And I remember people coming out of the plant people made that settlement. I remember that.
Okay.
That wasn't that long ago for me. Mm-hmm. I'm still old enough. But then then the plant does close. Mm-hmm. When did you first hear about the plant closing?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, it might have been 1996 or earlier, you know, that it became definite.
Okay.
Because when Cal Manimit bought the plant
from
the family, he had a reputation of being a hardliner and operating the business to the bare walls, which is what he did promptly. The things that I heard, Pabst was in possession at that time of some outstanding artwork, which was not only in the plant, but it was posted on the walls at the Milwaukee Athletic Club. Didn't find out all that until later on. But they tell me that Cal Manimit packed up all of that stuff and took it out to his estate in California. He didn't believe in computers. He just ran things to the bare walls. Fired people without notice in the front office. So that's why I say the union came in handy for us, that he couldn't do that to us. But for office personnel, he could get rid of whoever he wanted to. And I heard that happen on more than one occasion. So we just knew something was up.
And when you guys met with management, I remember that negotiation. I remember where the union hall was.
Yeah.
I remember when y'all came out of there, when y'all made that concession,
mm-hmm.
did you in your mind think that the company was gonna revive itself and stay competitive?
I never had full confidence that they were. Never had full confidence. And I think we all worked with that little monkey on our back, on our shoulders. I don't think any of us were convinced that the plant was going to continue. We just had that feeling. A lot of us just had that feeling. We're wondering that if they asked for one concession, when were they going to ask for another one? But I think the second one, I think we refused to give them a concession. And after all of that negotiation, I think after all of that long negotiation, they wound up giving us a 50-cent raise, which is like a slap in the face. A 50-cent raise. And even that didn't keep the plant open, so the die was cast. Hmm. We were out on strike for weeks.
You were.
Yeah. I remember Tommy Thompson came down and, you know, made his show. That was the first time that I experienced how sometimes untruthful a reporter can be. Because being present at the time of some of those interviews and then reading it in the paper didn't sound like the same place I was at. So I became very, very wary from that point on of talking to any reporter that showed up on the scene. Just didn't report it favorably. And all that grandstanding that Tommy Thompson did didn't keep the plant open either. He came down and supposedly to support the workers. It didn't work. So
the management was selling the company to this new investor.
Yeah.
But the negotiation took place with the company, with the original company, your negotiation. And you could see the progression changes in the positions that they were taking by hiring hardliners and different people.
I think our last negotiation was with the new management.
The new management.
See?
Okay.
And I understand they brought attorneys up from Texas.
Okay.
See, he came up to fight their legal battles in terms of us keeping our life insurance and things of that nature.
Yeah.
He was not a Milwaukee attorney from Texas.
Okay. All right.
So they really created a hard line between management and labor.
Pabst was one of the national and international businesses.
Pabst at one time, there was always Anheuser-Busch.
Yeah.
And there was always Miller. And then Pabst. Pabst moved up to second place briefly.
Yes.
I think for one time in their history. But they could never get past Miller. we knew they weren't going to catch Anheuser-Busch. We didn't have the capacity, see. So we kind of revel in the fact that they didn't make it to number three.
So you had, in Milwaukee, we had Miller, we had Pabst, we had Slitz.
We had Blatz.
Blatz. Mm-hmm. But Blatz was owned by Slitz, weren't they?
No. Blatz was independent.
It was independent.
Blatz. And matter of fact, Blatz was independent. And then what happened was, see, Pabst bought Blatz, and they began to brew Blatz. Blatz was independent. They bought Blatz out. So that's why we thought after purchasing Blatz, they were going to move up to maybe number two at least. But they could never catch Miller. Because at one time, Pabst had plants in, they had plants in California, and I think they had a plant in Texas.
Okay. Wow, they had such a land mass down there. Man, and that wasn't the only place you had. You had warehouses in the other parts of the city as
we
well.
We did indeed. We did indeed. As a matter of fact, when things were going well, when Pabst bought Blatz out, they took over that warehouse, which was at that time located on Broadway.
Yeah.
They used to drive truck down there to unload beer and pick up beer.
Sure. You, any famous people working for Pabst?
There were some that were working there, like for summer, like when they were in college. But I don't remember exactly who they were.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, that concludes my comments. Anything else that you wanted to add to it at all?
No, except that I choose to remember the good times at Pabst, not the way they treated us in the end. There's still a lot of us that remember the good times. Yeah. It was a good place to work. It really was. I'll give them that.
Good. You guys have Christmas parties and all those kinds of things?
The union still provides that for us, for retirees. They still provide that for us in December. And then in the summer, I think they have a picnic, which I hardly ever go to.
Okay.
But the union still provides us with that.
Okay. Well, good.
Yeah.
Terrific.